Welcome to Zichud Daf Simani. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhari, and today we're at Sechas Haravin, Daf Pei Zayin. So the three topics are going to focus on. Number one, it was learned in a brayso that Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya says, Gezustra sheyesh ba arba amos al arba amos, a balcony which is 4x4 amos in size, and extends over water, chokek ba arba arba umemale. One cuts a square hole, a 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim in the center of it, and he may then draw water through this opening. Rashi explains that the solid segments that remain on each side of the hole are viewed conceptually as having been bent down, forming a 10 tefachai enclosure below the hole. These partitions are then projected downwards and close the surface of the water using the principle of gudachis. Rabbi suggested that Rabbi Hananya and Rabbi Yehuda held identical things, since Rabbi Yehuda also held gudachis work, such as in the case of a wall over the cistern. Abai said that this isn't necessarily so. Perhaps Rabbi Yehuda holds gudachis works who extend walls downward, but would not go as far to say that one may conceptually bend the segments of the balcony to form suspended partitions. And perhaps Rabbi Hananya was leaning only with regards to the Sea of Tiberia, because it has high banks, cities, and karpuffs which surround it, but gudachis would not work with other bodies of water. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Amas ha-maim shehi overes b'chatzer. If a water canal passes through a chatzer, one may not draw water from it on Shabbos, unless they erected a mechitza 10 tefachim high within the canal at its entrance to the chatzer and at its exit from it. Rashi explains that although a suspended mechitza is valid over water, it must be evident that the mechitza was erected for the water. Therefore, the water's mechitza must be within the banks of the canal, and the walls of the chatzer that pass over the canal do not permit it. Rav Yehuda says, Kotzel shal gaba tidom mishum mechitza. The chatzer wall which passes over the canal at each end may be considered a partition. And point number three, a braisa is brought that teaches three lenient rulings issued by Hananya ben Akavya for the people of Tiberia. The first was regarding drawing water from a balcony on Shabbos via the conceptual bending of walls we mentioned before. The second one was Tomnim ba'atza. He permitted them to store fruit in beanstalks wet with dew. He held that the people of Tiberia would collect the extra stalks from the crop early in the morning so they wouldn't miss work later in the day, not because they were interested in the stalks being wet with dew. Therefore, the dew is not makshu al kabotuma, and the fruit can be stored in these wet stalks without becoming susceptible to tumah. So once again, the three points are, number one, it was learned in a braisa that Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya says, Gezustra sheyesh ba arba amos al arba amos, a balcony which is 4x4 amos in size and extends over water, chokek ba arba arba umemale. One cuts a square hole, a 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim in the center of it, and he may then draw water through this opening. Rashi explains that the solid segments that remain on each side of the hole are viewed conceptually as having been bent down, forming a 10 tefachai enclosure below the hole. These partitions are then projected downwards and close the surface of the water using the principle of gudachis. Rabbi suggested that Rabbi Hananya and Rabbi Yehuda held identical things, since Rabbi Yehuda also held gudachis work, such as in the case of a wall over the cistern. Abai said that this isn't necessarily so. Perhaps Rabbi Yehuda holds gudachis works to extend walls downward, but not to go as far as to say that one may conceptually bend the segments of the balcony to form suspended partitions. And perhaps Rabbi Hananya was lenient only with regards to the Sea of Tiberia, because it has high banks, cities, and karpuffs which surround it. But gudachis would not work with other bodies of water. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Amas ha-maim shehi overes b'chatzer. If a water canal passes through a chatzer, one may not draw water from it on Shabbos unless they erected a mechitza 10 tefachim high within the canal at its entrance to the chatzer and at its exit from it. Rashi explains that although a suspended mechitza is valid over water, it must be evident that the mechitza was erected for the water. Therefore, the water's mechitza must be within the banks of the canal, and the walls of the chatzer that pass over the canal do not permit it. Rav Yehuda says, Kosol shal gaba tido mishum mechitza. The chatzer wall which passes over the canal at each end may be considered a mechitza. And point number three, a braisa is brought that teaches three lenient rulings issued by Hananya ben Akavya for the people of Tiberia. The first was regarding drawing water from a balcony on Shabbos via the conceptual bending of walls we mentioned before. The second one was Tomnim ba'atza. He permitted them to store fruit in beanstalks wet with dew. He held that the people of Tiberia would collect the extra stalks from the crop early in the morning so they wouldn't miss work later in the day, not because they were interested in the stalks being wet with dew. Therefore, the dew is not makshu al kabotuma, and the fruit can be stored in these wet stalks without becoming susceptible to tumah. All right, so now we go to our siman for Daf Pei Zayin, and I'm going to change the siman a little bit from what we did in Maseches Shabbos. Originally, we said Pei Zayin is a golden Pez candy dispenser, which is a very funny, clever siman, but it's a little bit hard to work, I think, to use consistently throughout. So I'm just going to go with more generic gold, which gives us a little more play and possibilities when it comes to using it for a siman. So gold is a siman puz for Pei Zayin. So here goes. The man panning for gold, who cut a square 4x4 tefach hole in his balcony to draw water, installed mechitzas at either end of the water canal passing through his chatzer, while chomping on fruit he stored in beanstalks, wet with dew. Once again in slow motion. The man panning for gold, that must be one daf pei zayin, puz. The man panning for gold who cut a square 4x4 tefach hole in his balcony to draw water, which reminds us that a balcony which is 4x4 amos in size and extends over water, one can cut a square hole of 4x4 tefachim in the center of it and may then draw water through this opening. Rashi explains that the solid segments that remain on each side of the hole are viewed conceptually as having been bent down, forming a 10 tefach high enclosure below the hole. These partitions are then projected downwards to enclose the surface of the water using the principle of good achis. Rabba suggested that Rabbi Hananya and Rabbi Yehuda, who held the good achis works with a wall over a cistern, had identical rulings, but the Gemara rejects this, pointing out why each one would not necessarily agree with the other din. So the man panning for gold to cut a square 4x4 tefach hole on the balcony to draw water installed mechitzas at either end of the water canal passing through his chatzer, which reminds us of the machlokes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda regarding the mechitzas required for a water canal passing through a chatzer. So the man panning for gold who cut a square 4x4 tefach hole in his balcony to draw water installed mechitzas at either end of the water canal passing through his chatzer, while chomping on fruit he stored in beanstalks, wet with dew. Which reminds us, Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya issued three lenient rulings for the people of Tveria, the second one being that they could store fruit in wet beanstalks, since they weren't interested in the dew being on the stalks, which would be much of them to be makabel tumah. Instead, they just wanted to collect the beanstalks early in the day before work. So once again, the man panning for gold to cut a square 4x4 tefach hole on his balcony to draw water installed mechitzas at either end of the water canal passing through his chatzer, while chomping on fruit he stored in beanstalks, wet with dew. All right, now it's time for a four blot back chazara. Daf Pei Gimel. So the simmer Daf Pei Gimel is a pogo stick. So here goes. The reigning pogo stick champ. Pogo stick champ? That must mean we're on Daf Pei Gimel. The reigning pogo stick champ easily jumped over piles of desert, Yerushalmi, and Sipuri saws of grain, which reminds us. The Mishnah on Daf Pei Beis on the base discussed the quantity of bread required to make an Erev, which led to the Gemara analyzing specific measurements. A brice on this Daf teaches that the Yerushalmi saw is large in the saw in the midbar by 6, which Rashi explains to mean what we call a fifth, and the Tzipori saw is larger than the Yerushalmi saw by 6, which we refer to as a fifth. The Midbar saw was in use when the Torah was given and had a volume of 144 kibbutzim. The Yerushalmi saw was introduced during the time of Bais Rishon and had a volume of 173 kibbutzim, and the Tzipori saw was adopted when the Sanhedrin was located in Tzipori, which occurred during Revi's leadership. It was 207 kibbutzim. So the reigning pogo stick champ easily jumped over piles of desert, Yerushalmi, and Tzipori saws of grain. While the kid who ate more than an omer for breakfast got an upset stomach, which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa regarding the mitzvah of challah that the pasuk says, Reishis arisosechem, the first of your doughs implies that the dough from which one must separate challah is your dough that you had in the midbar. How much was the dough in the midbar, meaning the daily portion of man? The omer, series of eifahu, and the omer is 1/10 of an eifah. The eifah was equal to 3 saw, so that the omer, according to the size of the dough in the midbar, was 3/10 of a saw. The Braisa concludes, Ochel b'mida zo har zeh bari mevorach. One who eats as much as this measure, referring to the minimum quantity specified for challah, is healthy and blessed. If he eats more, he's considered a glutton, and if he eats less than this, his innards are defective. So the reigning pogo stick champ easily jumped over piles of desert, Yerushalmi, and Sipori saws of grain, while the kid who ate more than an omer for breakfast got an upset stomach when he jumped down to a platform and he couldn't jump back up. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah introduces the principle that the use of an area is assigned to those from whom it's easier to use. The Gemara lists 6 cases of areas accessible to 2 chetzeros, who have each made a separate Erev. There's machlokes between Rav and Shmuel in the case of Lezeb Shoshul, Lezeb Zrika, a given area which is only accessible to the residents in one chetzer by lowering objects in that area, and only accessible to the residents in the other chetzer by throwing objects to the area. Rav holds they're both forbidden since the degree of difficulty in using the area is equal. Shmuel holds that the residents who can lower into the area are permitted to use it because tashmisho benachas, its use is with ease. Lowering down requires less effort than throwing up. The Gemara in the next Amud attempts to determine if the halach is going to Rav or Shmuel, but fails to come to a resolution. Daf Pei Dalet. So the Simmer Pei Dalet is a launch pad. A launch pad. So here goes. The residents who lived on the same level as the Merpesis use it as a launch pad. Launch pad. That must mean we're on Daf Pei Dalet. The residents who lived on the same level as the Merpesis use it as a launch pad for their fireworks, which reminds us. The Daf continues with Malchus being rubbish about whether Shilshul lowering down is considered easier than Zrika, throwing something up, or not, in terms of determining who has rights to use a given area. The Gemara attempts to bring a support to Shmuel that lowering down is easier from the Mishnah. The Mishnah stated, Anshe Chatzar v'Anshe Merpesis If the residents of a chatzar and the residents of a merpeses forgot to make an erev, kol shegavoa sora tefachim merpeses, pachas mekanu chatzar, whichever area is 10 tefachim high above the floor of the chatzar belongs to the merpeses, and whichever area is elevated less than this belongs to the chatzar. This seems to support Shmuel, since the residents of the merpeses actually live in an upper story and make use of the merpeses by lowering things to it. The Gemara defends Rav by saying that just as the term merpeses was used in a different case to mean the residents who live on the same level of the merpeses and not above it, so too here. In that case, the residents of the merpeses have access to it directly, which is why they can use the area on Shabbos, and those in the chutz that require throwing up to it cannot. So the residents who lived on the same level as the merpeses use it as a launch pad for their fireworks, as neighbors below standing on a ledge sticking out from the 19th tefach wall, which reminds us, the Gemara attempts to bring a support to Rav from a brisa that states, Anshei chatzar v'anshei aliyah, if the residents of a chatzar and the residents of a second story forgot to make an erev, the residents of the chatzar may make use of a ledge that protrudes from the wall if it's below 10 tefachim, and the residents in the upper story may make use of the ledge if it's above 10 tefachim. This implies that if the ledge were in the middle and 10 tefachim away from both, it would be restricted from use since it's equally accessible to both. Rav Nachman answered, here in the Brice, we're discussing a 19 tefach high wall from which a ledge projects. If the ledge is below 10 tefachim from ground level, it's accessible to the chatzar as a pesach, which makes it exclusively theirs. If it's above 10 tefachim from the ground, it's accessible to the residents of the upper story as a pesach, making it exclusively theirs. So the residents who lived on the same level as the merpeses use it as a launch pad for their fireworks, as neighbors below standing on a ledge sticking out from the 19 tefach wall and the ones above who drew water in case a fire broke out all eagerly watch. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings the support for Rav's position from a Mishnah on Daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis that states, Shtei Kazusro Zolomo Mizo, two balconies, where one is higher than the other, and the upper balcony has a Mechitza Tluya, a 4x4 Tefach hole with a 10 Tefach partition coming down from it in order to draw water from below. The Gemara later explains that this partition was built in partnership with the residents of the lower balcony, so that they will have Drisa's Aregel, the right of passage, to use the upper balcony to draw water. Therefore, neither balcony can use the hole without an Erev. Since the upper balcony uses the hole with Shilshul, and the lower balcony uses it with Zrika and with Shilshul, and the Brisa considers them equals, this seems to support Rav's position. The Gemara answers that the case is where the residents of the lower balcony go up via steps to the upper balcony to get water, which means they also use it only with Shilshul, and even Shmuel agrees it's forbidden for both. Abaya gives a second answer. Daf Pehe, so the sim for Daf Pehe is a mouth. We use a dentist. So here goes. The neighborhood dentist. Dentist? That must mean we're on Daf Pehe. The neighborhood dentist who saw patients in a path between two walled chatzeros that contained a pit of water, which reminds us, reviewed a set in the name of Shmuel. Bor sheben shtei chatzeros mufleges mekosel zerba, mekosel zerba. Regarding a water pit between two chatzeros, if the edge of the pit is four tefachim away from each wall, each chatzar can put out a slat of any size from its wall and then fill their pails with water. Rav Yehuda himself, however, holds afil kanya, even something less notable than a slat, like a reed, can be used. Rashi explains that since the pit is in a path that is separated from both chatzeros by a wall, giving them no direct access to it, it doesn't require an erev. Putting out a slat or reed to permit drawing water from it on Shabbos is to serve as a reminder that access to a jointly owned area is usually only permitted with an erev. Abaye said to Rav Yosef, Rav would not require any reminder. For Rav said, Ein adam oso chavero derech avir. A person cannot restrict his fellow in an area only used by him by way of air. In this case, the residents do not have access to the pit by foot, but must draw the water by way of throwing. So the neighborhood dentist who saw patients in a path between two walled chetzeros that contained a pit of water was invited by the residents of the chetzer as they were walking through the gatehouse, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Anosin se ruv be'shar aksadru merpeses eno erev. If one places his erev in a gatehouse, a portico, or a gallery, it's not a valid erev. V'hadar sham eno osrolav. And one who lives in one of these does not restrict the other residents in the chetzer from caring. And eruv chetzeros must be deposited in one of the dwellings of the chetzer, symbolizing the designation of that house as the common dwelling of all residents in the chatzar. The Mir explains that the portico and the gallery are not considered dwellings because they don't have walls, and that the gatehouse is not considered a dwelling since residents in the chatzar are constantly passing through it. Rashi explains that someone living in any of the above places doesn't restrict use of the chatzar and does not need to contribute to the erev. So the neighborhood dentist who saw patients in a path between two walled chatzeros that contained a pit of water was invited by the residents of the chatzar as they were walking through the gatehouse to join them for a late Erev Shabbos get-together meal. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, B'nei Chabura Sheyim Musubin, a group of neighbors who were eating a meal before Shabbos began, which Rashi clarifies to mean all of the neighbors of a Chatzar or a Mavui, V'kidesh Alein Hayom, and Shabbos came while they were sitting there, without having joined in an Erev Rishitav, Pashal Shulchan Somchin Alein Mishum Erev. They may rely on the bread that's on the table for an Erev, and others say that they may rely on it for a Shitav. Tosos on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis explains that since the host served them bread to eat, it's as though it's theirs and it's therefore a valid contribution to the Erev. Rava said there's no dispute between these two rulings. One was referring to when they were eating in the house, and the other one was referring to they were eating in the Chatzar. Daf Pei Vav. So the Simur Daf Pei Vav is polis. Polis, here goes. The police, that must mean we're on Daf Pei Vav. The police were called in to resolve a domestic dispute between the wealthy man, who usually got respect, which reminds the Gemara relates, Rebbe Mekabed Asherim, Rebbe Kiva Mekabed Asherim. Both Rebbe and Rebbe Kiva would show respect to wealthy people. As Rabbi Bar Mari expounded from the verse, Yeshav Olam Lifnei Elokim, Ches Ve'emes, Manyin Saruhu, may he, referring to a king, sit forever before Hashem, appoint kindness and truth that they preserve him. Emesai Yeshav Olam Lifnei Elokim, when is the world properly settled before Hashem? When there are kindness and ample provisions for the poor, this preserves the world. Rashi explains that the word man means provisions. Since the rich provide for the poor and sustain the world, they deserve kavod. So the police were called in to resolve a domestic dispute between the wealthy man, who usually got respect, and his daughter-in-law, whose house he was staying in for Shabbos. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Hamaniach beisu b'halach lishbos be'ir acheres, one who left his house and went to spend Shabbos in another town. Reb Meir says whether he's a Nachri that did not rent out his rights, or a Jew who didn't join in the Erev, he restricts use of the Chatzar. Rashi explains that Reb Meir holds dir below baim shma dira. A residence without owners present on Shabbos is considered residence. Reb Yehuda says he does not restrict since he holds dir below baim lo shma dira. Reb Yossi holds that a Nachri does restrict and a Jew doesn't. Rashi explains that Reb Yossi holds that Reb Yehuda except that there is concern that the Nachri will return on Shabbos. It's unlikely, however, that a Jew will return on Shabbos. And Rabbi Shimon says that even if the Jew went to spend Shabbos with his daughter in the same town, he's unlikely to return because Shekvar Hisil Malibo. He's already dismissed returning from his mind. Rav said that the Lach is like Rabbi Shimon when he visits his daughter, but not for one who visits his son. Rashi explains that he has in mind that he might need to return home if he gets into a fight with his daughter-in-law. A fight with his son-in-law, however, can be endured. So the police were called in to resolve a domestic dispute between the wealthy man, who usually got respect, and his daughter-in-law, whose house he was staying in for Shabbos, over the question whether a wall passing over a cistern legally divides the water between them. Which reminds us, in the next mission regarding Bor Shebin Shtei Chatzeros, a cistern between two Chatzeros, partially in one and partially in the other, Rav Yehuda says, Lo Tehi Mechitza Gadol Min HaKoso Shebeneim. A Mechitza should not be more affected than the wall which is already between the Chatzeros. Rashi explains that Rav Yehuda holds that a wall passing over the cistern is sufficient to legally divide the water, even if it doesn't enter the cistern's cavity. Rabbi Bar Chana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yehuda's ruling is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who holds Mechitza Tluya Materza Afil B'Yabasha. A suspended partition permits carrying over dry land, such as in the case of a sukkah wall, that is woven from the top that is 3 tefachim from the ground, where Rabbi Yossi holds it extends downwards and is valid. The Gemara rejects this suggestion, pointing out that perhaps Rabbi Yehuda would only apply the principle to a Durabanan, such as Erevin, but not to a deraisa, such as a sukkah. And perhaps Rabbi Yossi would only apply it to a sukkah, which is an Isra Aseh, but not to a matter of Shabbos, which is an Isra Skila. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions, plus 3 bonus questions, Maseches, Brachos, and Shabbos. Number 1, which stuff do you want about Rabbi Hananya ben Akavi's leniency regarding letting the people to vary store fruit in wet beanstalks? That's on Daf Pei Zayin. Good. Number 2, which stuff do you want that the wealthy deserve covet because they provide for the poor? That's on Daf Hey, Vav. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we have a case where residents live on the same level as a merpeses? That's on Daf Pei Dalet. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn that Rabbi Hananya ben Akavi holds that one can cut a 4x4 tefach hole on a balcony over water and conceptually bend the walls of the balcony to create mechitzos? That's on Daf Pei Zayin. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we learn a prison cannot put an Arab in a Beishar Aksadu merpeses since they're not dwelling places? That's on Daf Pehe. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do we have the case of two balconies, the upper one having a partition to draw water, was where the lower balcony took steps up to use it? That's on Duff. Pei Dalet. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do we have the different measures for a saw? That's on Duff. Pei Gimel. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we have a melchok? Because if someone goes away for Shabbos without participating in the Erev, restricts the residents of the chatzar from carrying? That's on Duff. Peivav. Good, number 9. Which daf be malchogat tana come Rabbi Yehuda regarding what's required to draw water from a water canal passing through a chaser? That's on daf. Peizayin. Good, number 10. Which daf be learned if all the residents of chaser were eating a meal together and then Shabbos began and they had not set up an erev, the bread they were served can serve as the erev? That's on daf. Hey. Good, now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which daf be malchogat regarding washing a baby before and after a bris? That's on daf. Kuflam Adalan Shabbos. Good. Number 2. Which daf do you learn that one should not call Avraham Avram? That's on daf. Yud Gimel and Brachos. Good. And number 3. Which daf do you learn that chicken feces is considered muksa and therefore can be covered with a bowl? That's on daf. Kufchaf Aleph and Shabbos. Excellent. All right. That concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.